Good morning to all that are here and those still coming in. Welcome to you. Welcome to, I know we have some visitors here who couldn't get across to Olivet, and I see some from southeast of town, and I know we have some of ours that are over at Olivet that couldn't get across the river and various other places. So welcome, all of you, to our worship service today. It's a beautiful day. We thank God for that. I have some announcements that I'll need to go over before we continue on. First, we do have coffee hour following church today in the social hall, so if you could all join us for coffee, cookies, fellowship, most of all, that would be wonderful. The women of the church, you're scheduled to have a meeting right after church today as well, down in one of the Sunday school rooms. So for the ladies attending that, I'll try to remember after the benediction, you can get up and go to get started on that or grab a treat on the way, probably back there. The flowers, all of them, I'm looking out here today, all of the flowers up here today are being shared with us in memory of Dr. Leroy Friesen. His funeral service was yesterday, and Donna and a good mom, part of the family, are here with us this morning, so we want to continue to remember them in our prayers. We had a beautiful homegoing celebration yesterday for Doc Friesen, and thanks for sharing the flowers with us. I just want to call your attention to one other thing, this movie, Overcomer. It is in Viborg this weekend. I believe it's Wednesday night next, and next weekend. It really is a wonderful, awesome, Christian-based movie. They, as it says, there's a 2 o'clock showing today and a 7:30 showing, and I see some of our Viborg people here, so I guess maybe you came last night or today. Huh? Today, so you can make it over there. They made it to church. Viborg Oil, okay. So, if you're thinking of what you want to do, that's you will love it, I promise you. The rest of the announcements, please take time and read those as you are able. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for the sunshine, thanking you for your almighty power, for your sovereign rule over the universe, thanking you that we are able to gather here this day in your presence after what has been a very difficult week in many, many ways. We sing of your mighty power and your greatness over all of creation, Lord, and you are our help, as we'll sing later, O God, our help in ages past, our hope in years to come. You are our life, our strength, our breath. You are everything to us. And we gather here to honor you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, let this be a time of refreshing, I pray. I'm sure there's many that are on the weary side for what they've had to endure this week with the flooding and all. Let this just be a time of refreshing and uplifting as you fill us again with the Spirit of the living God. We ask you to move among us in a mighty way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand together as we sing our opening hymn, number 128. I sing the mighty power of God.
I sing the wisdom.
find it so interesting. This is how the Spirit of God works. These hymns I chose on Monday morning before ever anything happened, even the last hymn, as the words are so appropriate of both of these for this week that we have been through. And where was that verse on the flowers? Where was it? No. I have it. We just sang it. Third? What line? Oh, there's not a plant or flower below. Thank you. If you want to, I have never seen gladiolus like this that I recall in all my life, where the colors and that dark purple in there.
From Eric's garden.
From Eric's garden. Is that beautiful? You'll have to look at them later. Wow. The beauty of God's creation is amazing. Well, take a moment, greet those around you before you sing.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're going to, towards the end of the message, we'll have a more focused time of prayer on this, okay? So just let me know about that. Okay. Well, today's Weston Fryer's birthday, too. Happy birthday, Weston. Okay, anything else? Fred. Jamesville, yeah, thank you. They had to put up a dike as well to keep the water out. Thanks. Okay. Anything over here? Let's see, Callie. Lexi McNinch, her birthday was this last, will be this coming Friday. Happy birthday, Lexi. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this day again that you have made, for the sunshine and the warmth. Lord, for help. I know some of the water is receding already, and we praise you for that. Some that I didn't think could get here, but they're here. Thank you for the extra effort, Lord, that they put in, probably even going through pastures to get out to a regular road that's passable. But Lord, in all of this, you are God, and we and our eyes are upon you. Again, I pray for strength to those that might be weary from all that this changes up and all the challenges of moving livestock and building dikes and berms around the stone church and so much more, Lord. I pray that the eyes of the nation would turn to you and to your word, Father. And all the craziness of the weather and the situations, let the eyes of the nation turn to you, and may we repent of our sin. And may you hear our prayers and heal our land, Lord. I want to lift up Donna and the family that is here today and thank you just for your comfort and strength to them in the days and weeks to come, Lord. I pray for Louie and Judy Fierst. It's been a difficult couple months, really, for them. And Louie, we thank you that they were able to do that surgery, find that tumor, and get it out. Lord, you are the one who created these bodies. You're the one who knit them together, and it is nothing at all for you, according to your will, to restore life to those nerves that lead to his legs that cause them to work and function. And we would ask that, Father, in Jesus' name, as you are our healer, our great physician, and you strengthen him after this surgery. Be with both of them and their family down there in Sioux City at the hospital. Lord, for Carl tomorrow as he goes in for the knee replacement surgery, we pray over him. And thank you for being with the surgeon and the technicians and all as you guide them and you take hold of their hands, that they would operate with skill and precision, Lord, that this would go well and as good as the other one did, and a good recovery time, we pray, and strength for Linda, too, as the caregiver during this time. Lord, for Peg Wallach, as she has recovered very well, is recovering well from her hip replacement, we lift up these many more, Lord, in the bulletin, in situations of chemotherapy and treatment, all of them, Lord, give them strength. You know them each by name. Father, thank you for Ruth Record today on her 98th birthday. We ask your blessing to her and other birthdays here. Lord, for Junior, Dale Jr., that he's doing much better from a week ago, and we ask for continued healing in his body. Thank you for this time of worship together, Lord, in your presence. We pray for our military as well. Keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 57, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Let's receive our tithe and offering this morning. Tithes and our offerings here before your throne, we present them as an act of worship. You are our Lord and our God. You give us life. You give us strength to even be able to work. And we honor you with the first fruits of all of our increase, with joyful hearts, so that the word of God can be proclaimed, the message of the gospel can go forth always. We thank you that we are cheerful givers, Lord, before you, that as we read the scripture, that we can hide under the shelter of your wings, Lord, until the disaster passes by. And so we do, As you said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we can say of the Lord, you are our refuge, our fortress, our God. In you we do trust. So thank you for taking these gifts and multiplying them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. You might may be seated. And as the children come, I forgot to mention something. Aiden Friesen is our homecoming king at Menno High School. So congratulations to Aiden. The queen is Jordan Fisher. And I think tentative plans are to have the homecoming football game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at this point. So, do you want the bench?
No.
Okay.
Again? You see my water pitcher again, don't you?
I know it. It's a different illustration though today. All right, let me get ready. How are you boys and girls today? Good, it's good to see everybody here. Well, Pastor Mike is going to talk today about protection, that we get protected by God. So I have two napkins here, and these are representing two kids. And one of these kids doesn't know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He doesn't go to church, doesn't read the Bible, doesn't know. But this kid knows God. And he asks Jesus to be in his heart, and he's saved, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. So this picture represents the world, things in the world, some good things, some bad things. What are some bad things or hard things that could happen to kids? What's hard?
You could get hurt.
Really? Somebody could bite you, right? Or they could be mean to you, right? Physically, they could hurt you, or they could do it with their words. Somebody could scratch you, right? Kids could be scared. There's all kinds of things, and they are all in the world, right? You could get spankings if you get in trouble, right? One more. Somebody could steal from you, right? Okay, so here's our two kids, and this is the first kid that doesn't have Jesus as a Savior. He's going into the world here, and he is, oh my goodness, all the world is, look what it did to him. Tore this kid up, right? Tore him up. He got all, yeah, tore him up. So we're going to put him over there, because all those things, he didn't have any protection to help him with those things. But here is the child that loves Jesus, has him in their heart, knows that God protects him, and he gets the Holy Spirit. Because when you ask Jesus to come into your life, you get the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us all kinds of things, comfort and strength. And so here he's in, the Holy Spirit's in him, and he's going to go into the same world, though, because we live in the world with all those things you guys told us. He's going to go into the world. And there he goes. He's in the world. And those things are coming at him. But guess what? He comes out. Let's see what he looks like. Oh, is he wet?
No.
Did anything happen to him? No, it didn't. Because he is protected by God, right? And it tells us in the world, though, in the Word, boys and girls, though, in John 16:33, Jesus said, I told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So see, boys and girls, we're going to have troubles in our world. And we're going to face them. We're going to go into them. We're going to have them. But God has promised to be with us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to protect us. And one day, when we're done, when our life is done in this world, where are we going to go? To heaven. And that's what we hold on to, knowing one day we're going to see Jesus face to face, okay? So which boy or girl do you want to be? The one that just tries everything on their own without God's help, or the one that has Jesus in their heart?
Jesus.
This one. That's right. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you love us so much, that you gave us Jesus and you gave us the Holy Spirit. And no matter what we face in this world as boys and girls, as we have seen the floods and we've seen the farming economy and we've seen people die and we've seen lots of things and it hurts. But we know that we can trust in you, that you're going to help us, you're going to be with us, and you won't ever leave us. We thank you that we don't look so much at the problem, but we look to you. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week, at home, at daycare, at preschool, at school. Help them to show others that they love you. And no matter what they face, you will help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers.
Okay, thank you, Anne. She always comes up with some pretty amazing stuff, doesn't she? Oh, thanks, Jackson. We're going to sing number 130, His Glorious Name. We'll sing this through twice. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. As you spoke through the prophet Isaiah, when you said this hundreds of years before Christ was ever born, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so you are, Jesus. You are our Lord, our Savior, and so much more. As we look into your word today, thank you for the encouragement that you give to us, for the comfort in difficult times. You speak to our hearts, and we know that you are the one who makes a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be in Lamentations here this morning. I had fully intended to go on to finish up the Psalms of Ascent that we've been working on through the summer. And as the events of the week unfolded, I just thought we had to go a different direction for today. And so we will. So let me tell you here, before I start reading, just a brief introduction, and there'll be two blanks in your outline there to fill in probably right away. So the book of Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah during a very difficult time. It was in response to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. Remember, Isaiah and Jeremiah both prophesied to the nation of Israel during this time. This was like 586 BC, 600 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem, when these words were being written and prophesied. And God had brought judgment to Israel because of their rebellion and their disobedience to his word. Serious judgment. Lamentations, so it speaks of the loss of life among their people, the Jewish people. It speaks of the starvation that they endured. It speaks of the destruction that they went through because of this siege. And you know, they had been warned repeatedly by the prophets again and again of the coming judgment. They had been warned of the fall of Jerusalem, of the destruction of the temple. They had been warned. Sadly, they refused to listen. So I'm going to read, starting in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 16. This verse 16, it just touches a little bit on this. She wants another children's sermonette, don't you, Aria? Maybe she wants to help with the sermon. That's all right. Chapter 3, verse 16. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. And I'll stop there, the ending of God's read for this morning, God's word for this morning. So back to this, Lamentations. Again, the pain of exile, they were hauled off there to that foreign country of Babylon. We've talked about this even in some of the Psalms of Ascent. We dealt with this. But it was more than what they could handle, and so there comes this lament. A lament means to cry out in grief, to mourn aloud, to wail. Now, and there are cultures that do that, probably more than our culture, that's for sure. But certainly when we were among the Navajos and up with the Lakota Sioux at Timberlake, at funerals, you would often see this, the women wailing, and I'm not going to imitate it for you because it'd probably be way too loud. So, but they do that in their grief, in their sorrow. It's part of what they do. And at Israel, yes, this lament, they were just pouring out their hearts to God in the midst of very difficult times. So, back to chapter 3 there, verse 16 and through 20. There, Listen to some of these things that describe the pain, how they're describing the pain that they're in. That first phrase, "He has made me grind my teeth on gravel." Now, how does that sound? It's bad enough if you, get an Old Maid in your popcorn that you don't know is in there, or if you're eating hamburger and there happens to be a hard gristle little piece in there and you catch that, you try to get that out right away, but yet to grind your teeth on gravel? Ugh. Now, there are some little kids, I don't think my daughter's here today, so I can maybe tell this, that like to eat dirt. Yeah? And she was one of those when she was just probably like Aria's age or littler, and when we were out there with the Navajos, she was always wanting to eat the dirt and the gravel, and, you'd clean it. Don't eat that, Rachel. My gosh. Anyway, she probably didn't have her teeth yet, huh? I don't know. So it's not pleasant. He has rolled me in the dust, it goes on to say. Dust, sackcloth and ashes and dust, that's a type of mourning. Peace has been stripped away, that's the third thing. I have forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. That could be sort of what this year has felt like in many ways to many people. We all have goals, right? Ambitions. It affects not the farmers, but everybody, all of us, we're affected by these things. But when you plan out what you're going to plant, and you hope for these yields and these goals, and you got hopes, right? And then what? It is not happening. And when we think we probably should be through the worst of things, it only gets worse to something more unprecedented, something uncharted that we have never seen or experienced before. And that's sort of what this is happening here with these people, the children of Israel, while they are in exile. It happens through life. Listen to that one. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. At that time, yeah. But was it lost forever? No. It may be, dreams, hopes, plans had to be adjusted and changed. And I know one guy I was talking to this week, he's like, well, I'm on about plan, I don't even know what, J or K. I'm getting close to Z. I'm changing my plans. He says, the thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. This will be a year we will not forget. It'll be talked about. As some have said, it's one for the record books, and it truly is. And there have many times of generations before and before that have gone through difficult situations, hopelessness, homelessness. But in the middle of that, well, let me say this first. It's like the earth is groaning in turmoil, isn't it? And it will, as we get closer to the second coming of Christ. The scriptures tell us that the travail and the pains of the earth that is under the curse all the way from back to Adam and Eve will get greater. The natural disasters, the floods, the hurricanes, the increase, the earthquakes, the everything will be increasing. And so it is. So it is. But I've often think about this. Do you think that God's warning and judgments were only for the Old Testament people? No. But yet, there in Old Testament Israel and Judah, as they got further away from the Lord, Jeremiah was preaching hard to them. Isaiah was preaching hard, warning them. And most of the people despised those two guys. They did very mean things to them. pulled out the beards of some of the prophets, plucked out the hair, threw them in dungeons, and just tortured them mercilessly. So today, I as we see things going on around us, somebody said to me too, they were talking with their kids about this and what's going on, and the answer of that parent was, God is saying, wake up. Wake up. And I believe it is right on. Wake up. And you say, Pastor Mike, we're trying our best to serve the Lord. And I believe we are as a congregation by and large. I believe we are. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. So wake up. Increase the intensity of our prayers for the nation, for your neighbors. Share with them, reach out to them, invite them. If they're not going to church anywhere, invite them. Stand for God's word and the truth of his word, because there is hope. And in the middle of this, when we go on, in the middle of this passage, it's like there's this great, wonderful turn in the attitude and the words of the prophet Jeremiah in this book. It's like Lamentations. Jeremiah, by the Spirit of God, is saying that in a world of pain and injustice, just like what Anne showed with the kids, God is still good. Yes, there is judgment. And he brings his goodness, though, to those who hope in him. Romans 8:28. You know that verse. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Now, that's not saying that we don't go through hard times. We do. But you can know that he is going to bring good out of it. And a lot of times, I mean, we're still smack in the midst of this whole difficult year. And it's hard even yet to see, Lord, okay, all right, what is the good in this coming out of it? Some maybe you've seen answers. Some you probably won't see for a year or so down the road. But so what do we do in the midst of it? We praise him for what he is doing in our situations. I'm not saying you have to say, thank you for the flood and all the disaster and everything. No, you say, Lord, I thank you. You are in control. You are the one who can bring good out of this. You are the one who can provide when it looks like everything is going the opposite way and I don't even know what to do anymore because it can seem hopeless. That's where they were. But God brings good out of it. And verse 21 of Lamentations chapter 3, he says, after all of this, these painful things, what he described, he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And what is he going to call to his mind? He's going to go back to the attributes of God, of God's character, of who he is, and his faithfulness. And that's exactly what we have to do. We got to go back to that. Got to stand on the word and trust in him and think of what he has done. And so Jeremiah is encouraging the people of Israel in exile. Yeah, it was their fault they ended up there. Their disobedience, their rebellion is what got them there. But God is merciful. And so he says in verse 22 through 24, because, here he goes, this is what he's calling to mind, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. We love those verses. It's where our hymn comes from, Great is Thy Faithfulness, right there from that passage, isn't it? Yes. So he's talking to himself. Sometimes you got to do that, right? Yet this I'm going to call to mind, who God is and what he has done many times before in my lifetime, in your lifetime, that you've seen him, and over the generations and the ages that's recorded in Scripture, I'm going to call these things to mind, and it's going to build hope within me. And then in verse 24, he says again, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. You know what that means? It means he's more than enough. He's more than enough. If you're eating out dinner somewhere, maybe today, maybe you're in a home eating, visiting, and if my grandma Hecht, she was this way. She was as skinny as a rail. But she would fix up a feast when we'd be down there, and she would not quit making you eat until everything on that table was gone. And she'd come around, kids, you need another portion. We're really like, no, I'm getting about up to here. No, you need to have some more. And she wouldn't even let you answer the next time, just on your plate. And around she'd go, you need another portion, you need another portion. And you're like, whoa. So, and you know, as kids, you can eat a lot, especially when we got into middle school and there. No, when we say the Lord is my portion, what are we saying? In the midst of whatever else is going on, God, you are enough. You are more than enough for me, for my life, for this time. And yeah, it might get difficult. I might have to do without things that I want, but you are my satisfaction and my portion. The Lord is my portion. So the three attributes, they're very simple. What's he calling to mind? God's love. God's love, number one. What does he say? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. See, when the Babylonians came into Israel and Jerusalem, they could have killed everyone there. They could have done that. But because of God's love, King James says his mercies, we are not consumed. Praise the Lord. In the midst of this, in the midst of the tornado in Sioux Falls, as far as I know, there wasn't a death, a fatality. There were injuries in the midst of this flooding here. This time, not fatalities that I know of. We could go back probably to March, the flooding just down in Nebraska. There were some at that time. But we have our homes, don't we? We are not consumed. Psalm 103, verse 10 says, God, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Willard Zabe, I think of him, Donna's husband, Willard, right? Every time I read this verse, because we'd go to the Open Door for lunch and on Sundays and he'd be helping, and I'd say, how are you doing, Willard? His answer was always, better than I deserve. And I'd answer back, that's what Psalm 103, verse 10 says, Willard, God does not treat us as our sins deserve. That was his verse, as I knew him. Second, his compassions. His compassions. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Aren't you glad? Listen to Psalm 86, verse 15, hear about this. But you, O Lord, you are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, slow to anger, and abundant in mercy and truth. Third, what does it say? They, his compassions, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful. We know that he's trustworthy, he's reliable, he's true to his word. Through all of this, listen, Deuteronomy, here's another one, chapter 7, verse 9. This is right after the Ten Commandments were given. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. These things I'm going to call to mind. When you look at all the difficulties of verses 16 through 20 and the pain and heartache that's all described, nope, I'm going to call this to mind, God and who he is, and therefore I have hope. because of his mercies, his love, because his compassions never fail, because he is faithful, and he's going to show us a way out of this. Somehow, some way, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. I'm going to jump ahead. I didn't read these verses, but I want to read this in verse 40 and 42 through 42 of Lamentations 3. Because this talks about the repentance part right here. Verse 40. So let us examine our ways and test them. And let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. That's how it is worded there. Sounds almost like 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? If my people who are called by name, you say, how can we change the course of a nation that, and yes, God bless America. When I say this, I love our nation, okay? We are blessed of the nations in the world. The reason I say this and talk about it is because I don't want to lose that. Right? So we got to pray earnestly as the church, as the body of Christ, for our nation, that God can turn this tide back to him and his word. If my people who are called by my name, you can come, Jennifer, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their sins, right? Repentance. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. And so I want to take just a few minutes here, and we're going to sing a song from the praise book. I think the words probably come on the screen. Thanks, Caleb. Number 70. Blessed be your name. As we sing this first, you can stay seated. It talks about, I'm going to read a little, you know it, let me read a little. Blessed be your name. In the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. It says, blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. That's the tough times. When I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. And you see the contrast there. The praise has to happen both times, good, bad. Number 70, let's sing.
Thank you.
say, blessed be your name. When the world's all as it should be, it's easy to say, blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, not so easy. Walking through the desert place in the wilderness, not so easy. Lord, we all know this has been an extremely difficult year, already starting back before the first of the year. Certainly, we all probably said 2019 certainly will be better, as we consider better. And in our minds, it's only been more challenging. Those challenges continue to mount. When we think, oh, it's finally drying up. Maybe now I can do this. Maybe now we'll try this. And then comes the week we've just had. Father, you see it all. You know it all. And you are faithful in all of this. And for those that maybe are struggling with great discouragement and feeling hopeless, and that maybe hopelessness is trying to overtake them. If there's some here today, some that are not able to be here today, we pray over each of these, Lord, that you would give them a glimmer of hope, that you would help them to see some light at the end of the tunnel, that you would reassure them that you are with them, that you never leave them, you never forsake them, nor any of us, for you are always with us. And it might not be as we had hoped. As the prophet Jeremiah said, there, I lost hope for what I had planned. We know our plans can change in a moment by what happens. Lord, we fix and focus our eyes on you. The hours, for those here this morning that are probably weary, know that all those that have helped at the Stone Church, hours and hours putting a berm around that and sandbagging to save that building, and I pray that it is and will be and can be, refresh them. For those that have helped at the colonies, for those that have helped here on Highway 18, who would have imagined that would go over? Have to move livestock and all. Give them strength, Lord, we pray. Thank you for people coming together to help one another up in the northern colonies, and up Madison and Mitchell and on, and even down in Nebraska, they're still dealing with things. And at the Bahamas, destruction that's far beyond what we're seeing here. Lord, we look to you. And for, on behalf of this congregation, we're a small fraction of the nation. But Lord, we pray for our nation. And we do humble ourselves. And we repent of the sin, our sins, the sin of our nation. Lord, the sin of taking unborn lives, we repent of that. God, in heaven, have mercy. And so much more. We know you hear from heaven. We ask you to heal our land, and we will say, and we will sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Give me the chorus once more, can you? Spirits, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cindy, you come to the organ. If you're able to still stand, we'll have our closing hymn, which, again, Tuesday, Monday morning, I chose this, and as the week went on, I thought, it's just, well, I know. God knows. He knows what tomorrow holds. He knew what this week was bringing. Oh, God, our help in ages past. Let's sing that together. If you need to sit, I know some don't like to stand long. You know, feel free. Otherwise, if you're able, let's sing this as well. 686. Thank you, Jennifer. Receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. The ladies, if you're going to the meeting, women of the church, you can be dismissed for that. And have a wonderful day today. Thanks for the beautiful singing.